Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. And we do thank you for participating and being a part of this ministry, reaching out and sharing the Word of God. This evening, we are going to be in Rocky Mount, North Carolina. Rocky Mount, North Carolina. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to move on, and we're going to turn it on over to Minister Ricks. Amen. Before we do that, we also like to remind you that anything that we have ever broadcast, you can go into the archive and you can listen to it if you do not get a chance and you want to hear anything that was broadcast at any time or anything that we've done. You would go into Blog Talk Radio, then you would go into the archives and type in We Can Begin Again. Once you type that in, you will have a multiple titles and those who spoke at that particular time, and you can pull it up and you can listen to it. Amen. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to move on over into North Carolina. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be able to share your word as the body of Christ. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for our hunger and our desire, Heavenly Father, to come together to feed on your word. I pray, Lord, that your word will just fill us up, Heavenly Father, till it overflows, Heavenly Father. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to allow your word, Heavenly Father, to guide our lives. We know that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. And Father, there are those who ask for prayer, and we are mentioning them, and there are those that we may not mention, Father, but you know who they are because you are the Alpha and the Omega. We thank you for being that God, that all-knowing God. Father, we pray for Tanette and Billy out of Alabama. We pray for James out of North Carolina. Stewart and Chico from out of Ohio. Minister Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta. We pray for the Barnes family. Corlette from out of New Jersey. And Lord, Father, if there's anything, anyone that we left out, Father, we ask that you would just be with them and bless them in a special way. Father, we love you. We thank you for because of who you are. And Lord, Father, we're just going to humble ourselves as we are obedient to your word. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. We're going to move on over. Minister Ricks, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to turn it on over to you and allow you, the Lord, to use you as he sees fit. Amen. Thank you. We thank you. Welcome you back again. We welcome you back again. We thank God that everything has been working according to God's plan in your life. So we're going to turn it on over to you. Amen. So we're going to move out of the way.
All right. Amen. Good evening. Can everybody hear me okay? Hello?
Amen. You're coming in clear.
Okay. All right. All right. Good evening on tonight. I want to thank God for this opportunity to share in this interactive Bible study. And the topic has been displayed. The topic is, are you stagnant? And tonight we'll be coming from Revelations 3, Revelations chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. And this is an interactive Bible study, so anyone that would like to share or comment on anything, please feel free to interact so we can learn and grow together. Amen? Amen. Revelations 3. And we're starting at verse 14, and it reads, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith, Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of creation. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increase with goods and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art rich and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich with white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anointed thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sit down with my Father in his throne. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Amen. As we just read Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, first I would like to explain the distinctive period of the church was living in and why this letter was written to the church by the Apostle Paul. John is writing to point out their strengths and to warn the people about their flaws. The things John pointed out speak to our current living conditions that we face on today. John was writing a letter to the people who were once at an appointed time considered role models that had come to a stagnant place. The Holy Spirit instructed John to address how the people had lost focus on God, and that God was not pleased with this behavior. The example that we should see from the text is we constantly live to fight against temptations, and the battles will leave us loveless, immoral, lenient, compromising, lifeless, or cause about our faith if we do not learn how to refocus our attention on God. So in this letter, the Apostle John is warning the church that Christ is coming back, and we need to uproot any sin that blocks our relationship with him. John is encouraging the people and us as well to be full of hope and to accept that God is in control and there is victory in Christ to them that trust him. The victory is for him, meaning God, to create a new heaven and a new earth for him to be joined with us for eternity for them that fear the Lord. And so what John has done here in the text, he describes the conditions that the Laodicean church had to cause them to be in a stagnant state. A stagnant spirit is a stronghold. And strongholds are developed correct thinking pattern. They're developed by incorrect thinking patterns that are shaped by our perspective of our environment and really it's a misunderstanding of God's word, the true word, God's intent for his word. And this stagnant spirit, this stagnant state that the people were in, that John is talking about, this stagnant state has infected their ability to thrive in the things of God. These strongholds were formed in their lives, and it's interfering with their predestined, their destinies that God has already ordained for them, just as he ordained for Jeremiah. So on tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to look closely at the text to gain a clear understanding of what John meant in the letter that he wrote to the Laodiceans, so we can identify the types of spiritual attacks. And what I noticed from reading the text and reviewing over the text, what we're going to cover tonight, we're going to cover how the spirit of stagnant operates. We're going to find out how we can be delivered from not just that particular spirit, but anything that we come up against in life that will hinder us from committing to God, or hinder us from hearing for God or being used by God. And we'll hopefully, we can take, with the hope that's within, we can take the things that we're learning tonight and move forward in the things of God. Amen? Is everybody here? Amen. Anybody got any questions so far? Okay, now being that this is an interactive Bible study, I would love for you to repeat something after me. We are moving forward.
We are moving forward.
And it is somebody waiting to hear my testimony.
And there is somebody waiting to hear my testimony.
And I just want you to know, by repeating that, you're making a statement tonight. And it's okay to encourage yourself to be encouraged in the word, because in these trying times, faced with temptations and different obstacles, it's very easy for us to become stagnant as well. Amen? So being that we're covering the word stagnant, I looked up the definition in Webster, and stagnant means to have no current flow or having an unpleasant smell as a consequence. Also, the synonyms for it means to be still, motionless, stationary, standing, dead, and slack. Those are the words to describe stagnant. Now, in Revelations 3 and 14, we have already established the point that John is talking to the church of Laodiceans. And this church was located in one of the most important and flourishing cities of Asia. During the early period, it became one of the chief seats of Christianity. This was one of the wealthiest cities known for their banking industries, manufacturing of wool, and medical school that made medicine for the eyes called salve. Salve is an anointment used to promote healing of the skin and also for protection.
Mm-hmm.
These people had everything they needed, and they had come in complacent in their situation. Complacent meaning they were self-satisfied, and they had forgotten that God had provided all these things for them. So God became angry because these people were bragging too much, thought they had it made, and they were rich, and they did not need anything from anyone. God was telling the people through John, that he is trying to counsel them to draw. He's trying to counsel them to draw from him. But the people were complacent with their self-satisfying behaviors. And God was using John to tell them in the letter, I have provided for you, but since you will not repent and change, you disgust me. Everybody with me?
Amen. Amen.
Okay, all right. This city had become lukewarm in their faith.
Yes, you're on.
And to give you a better understanding of lukewarm drinks, lukewarm drinks has a disgusting taste to it. And if any of you are used to drinking coffee or either hot tea, you don't want neither one of those lukewarm. Am I right? If you're like me, you probably like to add sugar to it. And if it's not at the right temperature, that sugar just settles to the bottom of the cup like a lump and rests in a stagnant place, serving no purpose. And then when you try to sip it, you get grits in your mouth from the sugar not being dissolved properly. It should be used, the sugar should have been used for an intended purpose to add an enhanced quality of taste, but instead it is distasteful to our taste buds. This is a perfect example of what we are, of what's going on when we're drawing from the will of God and refusing his instructions. It gives a distaste to God, a disgust. Because he said you're either hot or you're cold. Lukewarm, he said he was going to spew you from his mouth. Amen? So he's so it's making him sick to his stomach to see us, not willing to commit and make that connection with him and live like he has asked us to be obedient. So this is what's happening to the people in this city. They have become idle with the treasures that God has given them. And they did not take a stand for anything. They were bland. They had become hardened. They were self-satisfying. They were half-hearted people. These people have become complacent and were lukewarm in God's eyes. And this left a very bad taste in his mouth. As I look back in the Old Testament, when I was studying other people that have been lukewarm, I came up in the Old Testament with the prophet Zephaniah. And what he tells the people of Jerusalem, he warns them about being lukewarm. And it's in Zephaniah chapter 1, verses 12 through 13. Let me know when you have it. Everybody say amen. And it reads, it will come about at that time that I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are stagnant in spirit, who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. Moreover, their wealth will become plunder, and their houses desolate. Yes, they will build homes, but will not inhabit them, and plant vineyards, but not drink their wine. This prophecy was spoken against the people that were stagnant in spirit and settled for complacency. Complacency keeps us from improving our service to God, forsaking our sins, and we cannot fulfill our destiny God has created us to fulfill. Amen. Any questions so far? Any comments?
I think going back to the Old Testament, and we talk about, you know, stagnant or being aware of our temperature, being ashamed of our behavior, but sometimes we're proud of the things that we do. It was like Adam and Eve. They were in the Garden of Eden, and they were naked. They weren't proud of the fact they were naked. They were hiding. They literally just did something wrong, or things weren't correct.
That's the Old Testament. Going into the New Testament, the Revelation, it speaks of nakedness where people are proud of the things that they've done. They know it's sinful, and they're very proud of it. So they're in a new comfort zone. But then you have to, you know, be in self-awareness of yourself and make change, not stay in that position. Do what God's will is. Do not be stagnant. Move towards God.
Amen. That's a very good point. That's a very good point that you pointed out. And you're exactly right. The people are not ashamed anymore for being naked. Adam and Eve were hiding, but people are just out and open with the things, with their sins that they're doing, because people don't fear God anymore. They think it's just a mystery. They do not believe. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Mm-hmm. Okay, so as we continue to look at Revelation 3, with verse 17, the Church of Laodiceans, they were assuming that numerous material things meant they were operating in the will of God. And just as my brother stated earlier, they were not ashamed of not being fearful of God, not wanting to act accordingly to what God had instructed them to do. So what I've done when I was reading that, I asked the Holy Spirit, how does this apply to us? And what are the other things that keep us today being stagnant? And he whispered to me, he was saying sin. He was saying an unrepentant heart, a hardened heart, being doubtful, unforgiveness, lack of love, rebelliousness, feeling self-righteous, like we got it all together and we don't do any wrongs. We're perfect. Pride, laziness, not even wanting to apply yourself to the scripture to learn about God, to pray, to take time to pray for other people. Lack of humility, to know that the Holy Spirit has convicted you of something that you're wrong in doing, but you won't even say you're sorry. You won't even ask God to forgive. You won't ask man to forgive you. And God tells us that we have to go, before we come to him, we have to go and make things right with our brother, with our sister. We have to go and make things right with other people. Being deceitful, being lustful, covetousness, ungodly conversations, and being desensitized to the Holy Spirit. All those things are what God pointed out to me when I was looking over this lesson. And just being desensitized to the Holy Spirit, that means that God has tried to convict you and chastise you to repent, and you just keep right on going the other way. Just like you don't even feel him or hear him speaking to you or bringing conviction to you to repent. Any comments?
Amen.
All these things will cause us to be in a stagnant state. We will not grow in God doing these behaviors and believing that it's okay to do these things and just not being ashamed about what we're doing. The scripture tells us that we're supposed to be fruitful and multiply, just like he told just like he spoke it with Adam and Eve, and not only being fruitful and multiplying. A lot of people, they always want to say that's just about having children and things like that. But if you're spreading the gospel and you're being an example of what God told us to live like and interacting with people, you're bringing people to Christ. That's multiplying the fold. And that's being fruitful, because you are operating in the fruit of the Spirit, because you're showing love. You're having gentleness. You're taking time to pray with other people. You're taking time to study so that you can explain the hope that's within you. And you're also modeling this behavior in your workplace and different interactions that you have with people. And people want to be drawn. People are drawn to that because they see that peace that's on the inside of you, and it's different from what they're experiencing. And they want to know, why are you so jolly? Why does this not bother you? You know, this is something that would drive me nuts. But when you get to telling them about the hope that's within you, that comforting that we have, the Holy Spirit, then that's going to multiply the fold, and it's going to draw more people to the body of Christ. Amen. So, as we move on to to Revelations 3 and 18, John told the Laodiceans to be buying their treasures from God, to wear his righteousness, and to draw from his anointing to be healed, delivered, and set free. He was showing them the true value of right relationship with God. He was showing them that they are going to be held accountable for rejecting to do right and know that they should have been doing better. He was also showing them that God is persistent, that God is personal, and that he desires a relationship with them. So the real treasure they should be concerned with having are the treasures which are stored up in heaven for the eternal life that he has prepared for us that believe to enjoy his kingdom. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So don't allow the enemy to deceive you any longer. The spiritual fight is real, and the enemy is lurking to see who he can kill your spirit, to see if he can steal your joy, and see if he can rob you of that peace. Can anyone explain that peace that I'm talking about? That peace that the Holy Spirit gives you, that soul peace. Can anyone explain that? It's an interactive Bible study.
I think it also would be the faith that we possess in God. And faith is demonstrated by actions and firm belief and the ability to spread the gospel, not just stay in the comfort zone and be quiet, or to just commit sin and to be knowledgeable about it and continue to do what is wrong because you're in your comfort zone. Well, the people you elect to be around are doing wrong, but you say nothing, and you continue to endorse their behavior. So anyway, you have to examine yourself to make sure that yourself is that you are following God's direction. Stick with Scripture.
Amen.
Amen.
All the mics open.
Right, and you were saying something that also caught my attention. You were talking about compromising, and you were talking about settling and just joining in and being an active participant of the things that you know that the people are doing wrong, and you're not saying anything. And a lot of people, some people, they don't say anything sometimes because they don't know how to approach the person without being negative. So, or saying something like some. Lord, help me explain this. Help me explain this. It's not that they don't know. Yes, some people, they don't know how to approach the person to win that soul over for Christ. And I was just reading something the other day. I want to say it's in 2 Peter chapter 3, and it's around verse 16, and where it talks about we have to be able to coach that person and talk to that person with the spirit of gentleness, and not we have to know how to talk to that person, to approach them and make sure we're doing it in love so that we will not turn them away or give them a bad taste for Christ. I'm not saying
I think that when we approach a person, and when you're looking to share the word of God, it is in a lovable manner. And when you approach someone with a lovable, kind heart, like you are sincerely concerned about them, people are open to receive. But if you come with a hardened heart, almost like you're trying to force feed someone, people reject it. So we have to be open to be Christ-like, that when we approach others, we're approaching them out of love, showing that we are concerned and we truly love them. Not we're trying to tell them what to do. We're just sharing Christ with them.
And that's a part of the educational process. It's a part of the educational process that you also, when you spread the gospel, you also know your audience, who you're speaking to, what their customs are, so that you're able to get their attention. They don't feel like they're being hit over the head with a lamp, and you're trying to force them to see something they don't want to see. But if it's done in a sense of love, that person is going to want to observe your behavior, the things you say. We learn, we teach in a variety of different ways, and we receive information in a different a variety of different manners. Could be music ministry, could be just simply talking, could be books, it could be a variety of things. But anyway, know your audience, how are you going to reach them, you know, and have a sense of respect. But anyway, the things we do in the teaching process, do it with love.
I want to say this also, yeah, that we have to be open to the Spirit. We have to be open to the Spirit. It's not what we want to do, but we have to be open to the Spirit to be able to follow the Spirit, because if the Spirit says that we should be quiet, then we should be quiet. And if the Spirit says that we should share, then we should share. So I think, you know, it's being open, you know, to allowing God to speak through us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Any more questions? Any more comments? And thank you, Elder, for helping me with that, because I didn't have a scripture right in front of me right then, and I didn't want to go off on a tangent. I wanted to try to stick to what the word said, and that's exactly what I was thinking. I just couldn't get the thoughts together. And you exactly right. What's your name, sir?
Norm.
Norm?
Yeah, Norman.
Thank you so much for sharing. And you made a very good point. It's all in the teaching. It's all in the teaching and listening to the Holy Spirit lead you into what to say and how to respond to certain things. Because sometimes when we get to interacting in some things, it'll irritate us because we're trying to figure out why is that person, you know, where is this coming from? Some of the things that irritate the Spirit a little bit, but we have to redirect ourselves and recognize the Spirit that person is operating in, so we'll know how to respond to it. Amen?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. So as we're moving on, if there's no more questions, we're moving on to verse 19. And in the text, we learn here in this verse that God used discipline to the Laodiceans to promote them to repent. When you repent, everybody, I hope everyone knows that when you repent, you turn and go into a different direction. And repenting is a conscious decision where the Holy Spirit convicts you of what you're doing wrong, and you should be wanting to draw near to God by prayer. And when you're drawing near to God in prayer, you have to be willing to accept the fact that prayer is a two-way conversation. It's not just you talking. God responds back too. You have to be listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. This commitment requires attending church service regularly, attending Bible study, doing independent Bible reading, fasting, worshiping God, and hiding His word in your heart, that you may meditate on His word with intentional thoughts about God and who God says you are and what God says you can do in Him, that you may be able to give an explanation, that you may be able to witness to a person in the time of need, and the Holy Spirit will guide you into what to say, because you're meditating on His word, you're intentionally thinking about Him, and He's going to bring it back to your remembrance. Amen.
Amen.
And when we do these things by daily Bible reading, fasting, worshiping, meditating on His word, attending church regularly, and the Bible studies, this allows the Holy Spirit to reignite our zeal for God when we allow His word to work in our hearts. And what God's word is doing, while it's working in our hearts, it's working the contamination out of us. It's working the lustfulness, the deceitfulness. It's increasing our faith. It's helping us not be righteous, is breaking the spirit of pride, destroying the laziness, destroying the deceitfulness, the covetousness, the ungodly conversation, and it's making the Holy Spirit more alive in us as we can make this connection with Him, as we commit. Amen?
Amen.
And desensitizing to the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding and instructions in our daily lives, it can cause so many problems with this connection that we have with other people. So we are sometimes too busy to talk in prayer. We have a list of demands, and we're not doing enough listening when we go to God in prayer. So we need to be able to hear what the Spirit is saying. We have to have a desire to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And we even have to commit to this process that we will be transformed, that transformation will take place in our lives. Because when the Holy Spirit has been reunited and our seal for God, and the Word is becoming alive in us and is growing us and pushing us into a new area, a new level with God, that's transformation in our lives. Amen. Any questions or comments about that? Amen. All right. So being in a stagnant state means to be inactive with God. The text has shown us what God meant by being lukewarm. And we make Him want to spew us out of His mouth when we're lukewarm. God is ready to move us tonight from this stagnant place. He has sent His word to us that we may be healed, that we may be delivered, and we may be set free from those things that interfere with us believing the true word of God. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, tells us to cast down vain imagination and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Every time that we reach out for the true word of God and we search the scripture to see exactly what the scripture says about our situation and the things that we're facing, and we replace those thoughts with what the word of God says about the situation and how we should act and how we should behave and how we should handle things, we break those strongholds. We destroy. We don't break them, because when you break some, it can mend back together. We destroy those strongholds with the power of God by replacing those strongholds with the truth of what God's word say. So as we're learning, and the more word we eat, the more word that we learn and meditate on, it becomes manifestation. It becomes real to us. It increases our faith, and we start to have courageous power to stand, where we will not sit by idle in the stagnant state. We will speak up instead of being silent when we see things that are ungodly. And we will have the courage to do what God has called us to do, what He has ordained us to do. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And as we meditate on His word and it comes into manifestation, our walk with Christ should never be just existing, but being fruitful with love, with light in dark places, with joy and peace, to the point that people around us feel it when they come in our presence. They feel so confident, and they want to ask us about the hope that we have within us. Why are we so much at peace with things that are going on around us? We should always be expecting greater expectation when we're interacting with the Holy Spirit, when we're reading God's word, when we're committed to Him, when we're connected to Him. We should always be we should always be expecting greater expectations of Him as He destroys these strongholds in our lives. God is calling us to a greater worship. He's calling us to a greater thanks. He's calling us to greater knowledge. He's calling us to greater power. He's calling us to greater prayer. And He's calling us to greater relationship with Him, our Lord and Savior, so we can be His role models here on earth to assist with His releasing of His kingdom right here on earth. So on tonight, the things that we have covered, dealing with being in a stagnant state, what are we going to do to move into these greater expectations? How do we move forward in God? How are we delivered from these things? Can anybody answer those questions for me? Hello? It's an interactive Bible study. Can anybody answer the question?
The mics are open. It's just a matter of anyone sharing. So the mics are open. All you have to do is just talk.
I think it's an issue of also taking in spiritual food or spiritual growth, spiritual exercise, from the nourishment that we receive spiritually, and that relationship with God will help us to grow spiritually and to be able to reach others. But more to the point, that relationship that we develop with God would lead us into the correct path that God intended for us to be.
When you say moving into a greater expectation, the thing that comes to me, you know, is and the relationship that my brother mentioned in terms of, you know, that's all so important. Your relationship is knowing who you're in relationship with. You know, God is, He's greater than any human relationship that we can ever have. And so when you have a mindset of knowing the divine relationship that you have with Christ, then those expectations increase. That's, I mean, the word is a lamp unto our feet, and a
Amen.
Light unto our path. So we have to rely on the power of God to be able to work those things out that we don't understand, those things that we can't see. See, because God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. So you don't understand how, we don't understand how God does things. So what we are is we should have expectations of knowing without a shadow of a doubt it's going to be done. I mean, the word even says, God even says, you know, be still and know that I am God. Be still. Don't do nothing and know that I am God. That relationship is how we think and how we respond. Thinking is knowing that divine relationship we have, and knowing is that if He is the God, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, then whatever
yes.
it is that we're going up against, then God can take care of that. So when you have those responses, then that takes you to a person to another level. The expectations become greater. The relationship becomes greater. That means waking up and knowing that you didn't wake up on your own, but you woke up
Amen.
Because of the grace of God. So getting away from the I and allowing it to become a relationship of knowing that God is the one who creates our lives.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, you were talking a few minutes ago about that greater expectation, and it's to wait for the hope and expect the Lord to be brave you know, to be of good courage and let your heart be stout and enduring while you're waiting for God to move. And that's worshiping him, praying to him, and looking for him in your circumstances. And as we are getting to know God more, that intimate relationship that I was speaking of earlier with him is taking us from academic knowledge, what we're learning, what we're reading in our Bible, to the knowledge of experimental knowledge, where we start to experience the things of God ourselves. They come into manifestation, and it helps our unbelief to grow in our faith to where we can be confident in knowing God. And it helps us to, his voice, you know, it just resonates with power and authority. It gives us authority when we're listening and we're being obedient to what the Spirit of God is saying, and we're seeking wise counsel in the process from mature believers that can confirm that this is what his word is saying. We're searching the scriptures. We're interacting, because it says, forsake not to assemble yourself. We're interacting with mature believers, and they're confirming what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you. And mm-hmm. and you have no other way but to go up in God and to be used for him, because it's no longer reading scriptures just to know them. Mentally, you have experienced this. You have experienced this, just like when the disciples were there with the five loaves of bread and with the bread and the fish, just like they were there during that time, and they actually saw it with their own eyes. That's a whole different thing from what we're reading.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different thing from what we're reading. And that's just where God has my heart at this time, where he has shown me that we have to get ready. We have to get ready. We have to get connected. We have to get committed. We have to make sure that we're hearing from God, because, you know, we hear from three people. We hear from ourselves. We hear from Satan, and we hear from God. And we need to know which voice are we listening to, so we could be making the right moves in the next coming few years.
Mm.
Because these things, these times that we're up against right now, they're just going to continue to get worse around us. And we have to be able to give an answer for the hope that's within. We have to be the ones that are now connected to this Bible study, that are committed to going to church. We have to get ready, because we're going to have influx of people that we're going to have to minister to, and we're going to have to help them. So right now is the time for concentration. It's time to put on our armor. It's time to tighten up those boots. It's time for us to move from just knowing and talking about it to experiencing these things. Because people need us.
Amen.
People
Amen.
Are waiting to hear our story. They are waiting to hear our story. And we got to reach these kids. Because a lot of these children that are growing up, they're going to school, they're getting involved with these shootings, they're getting involved with gangs, they're getting involved with drug activity, have never stepped foot in a church before. The parents are 30 years old and don't know anything about Sunday school, don't know anything about church. And we have to be able to be an example. We have to be strong. People going into church shooting people right now, we have to be strong. The kids got to pray before they go to school. We have to be strong for them. We have to be courageous, and we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Because we're going to see some things, and we're going to need God. We're going to need Amen. Him. Amen. I'm turning this back over to Elder Clay now, because it's like 5 minutes left. And any questions, any comments? Because we got to grow and learn together. Amen.
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 Mic's open. Any comments? Any reflections?
Well, I would like to, you know, since no one is talking, I would like to say that I think that you did a wonderful job with your interpretation of Revelations
3:14 through 22. I felt that that was an excellent interpretation of that, and also how you made it relevant to our lives. So I thoroughly enjoyed you sharing and what God had placed on your heart. I pray that you would continue to allow God to use you in that respect of exercising his word. And I pray that God would continue to do that, not only here, but also throughout your family as well as throughout your church, which I'm sure that you are actively engaged in doing. So that's just from me, just sharing that. It's all about faith. It's all about our faith. It's all about faith. You know, what is faith? Substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things unseen. And you're so right. The youth today, we have to learn. I believe the youth are crying out. I believe that they're crying out for help. We have to know and understand them. They don't have to know and understand us. We have to know and understand them in order to connect with the
Amen.
Youth. And once we connect with them, it's almost like speaking with someone from another country. You know, we can go and when we can talk all we want, but we don't have a relationship, I mean, not a relationship, an understanding of their culture. If we don't understand anything about them, what gives them a reason to want to understand anything about us? It becomes a mutual
Amen.
Relationship. Once we develop that mutual relationship, then we can start introducing Christ. But relationship means that you have to, that two people have to come together mutually, not where one is dominating and the other is submissive. Two people have to come together mutually. And once you become, you come together mutually, then you have an ear to want to hear and share. Then you become open. But we're not going to reach the youth until we begin to start to understand them, because it's a totally different generation. They have a totally different mindset. They've grown up in a totally different technological society. They know more than we'll ever know, simply because that's all they know is technology. And until we begin to start to get them to understand our generation, then they're always going to be separated. They're not going to want to understand the generations prior because they reject. They're looking at things that other generations are doing, and they're just shaking their head saying, no, I'm not going that route. They're looking for authenticity. People who are authentic. Let's say one thing and do something totally different.
That's right.
We're all teachers. We're all students, and our present generation, we have to be willing to learn so that the younger generation can watch us and see us grow, and they have a greater sense of wanting to grow as well.
Man. So, Minister Ricks, if you would like to pray in a closing prayer, and then we're going to move on out of the way.
Yes. Elder Clay, I want to thank you for encouraging me tonight, and I learned a whole lot looking over this stuff and searching the scriptures, and it really blessed my life, and I really hope that it blessed everyone that's on the air's life. And just take time to read through the scripture and search it, that you may increase your faith as well, and that you may move to that experiment just like Jesus did with the disciples. Amen.
Amen.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this opportunity to share your gospel, Lord God. Lord God, I just want to give you all the honor and all the glory for tonight, Lord God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit leading and guiding us tonight, joining our hearts together, Lord God, that we could fellowship and worship you, God. And Lord God, I just ask right now that these things that you have allowed me to share tonight over the airwaves, Lord God, that they penetrate the heart, Lord God, that they meditate on your word, Lord God, and that they have a deeper yearning for you, Lord God, that you will equip us with the things that we need, Lord God. For David cried out, Father, teach our hands to fight, Lord God. Teach us, God, what we need to do and the tools that we need to engage in this battle, Father. For the battle is it belongs to you, God. But use us as your weapons, as your mouthpiece right here on earth, Lord God, that we may speak your word to people, that it may come alive in their hearts, Lord God. Help us to live in holiness, Lord God. Help us to be obedient, Lord God. Lord God, we lift up the children to you right now, God, that are interacting in school, that has to deal with gang violence and things like that, with guns and other things, with drugs. Lord God, we just ask that your Holy Spirit just send somebody positive and anointed in their path, Lord God, that will minister your word to them, that will also walk your word out in front of them and let them know that you will care for them, that they can cast their cares on you, Lord God, that you love them and that they have a purpose, Lord God, and that you created them in the mother's womb, Lord God, that you had a plan for their lives, Lord God. Lord God, we just thank you, Father, for hearing this prayer on tonight, Lord God. We thank you for New Beginning Ministry, Lord God, where people can sit right in their home, Lord God, and be empowered and be strengthened by your word, Father. Lord God, we just ask that anyone that is connected to us, Lord God, that may be in a need for Thanksgiving, Lord God, we ask that you manifest yourself in their lives, Lord God, to increase their faith, Lord God, to let them know who you are, God, that they will know you on a more deeper and an intimate level, Lord God. And Lord, as we are surrounded by our families and loved ones, Lord God, over the holidays, Lord God, we ask you just keep us safe, Lord God, and let you be the center of the family's attention, Lord God, and help us share, Lord God, share your word in love, God, in joy, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray, God, and we thank you for hearing this prayer. We thank you for moving right now. Amen. Yeah.
begin.